So this morning we are doing quote-unquote Volunteer Appreciation Sunday, and I'm doing air quotes, and I will explain that very quickly. But to kick things off, I want to ask, have you ever felt indebted to somebody? Like, have you ever used the words, I owe you one? Maybe you were in a jam and you reached out and someone gave you a hand with something, or whatever the scenario is, you reached out to a friend or a family member because you needed a favor. You were in a position where you couldn't do it yourself, and you reached out and said, hey, could you help? And at the end, almost every time, I am really bad for this, I always say, hey, I really owe you one. And most people are like, ah, don't worry about it. But you feel indebted to them. They took their time and their energy to help you with something. Especially the more dire, the more drastic the situation is, the more you feel obligated to reach out to them to say, "Hey, I'll get you back." And the biggest reason I think we do this is because we have this culture nowadays where nobody does something for nothing. Right? The first question is, if I have to get involved, what's in it for me? That is the default question, and it has created a culture and a society that is so hesitant when it comes to volunteering. Volunteer Canada, which I didn't even realize was a corporation until this week, reports that 65% of all volunteer-based organizations are reporting a shortage. Two-thirds. Obviously, churches would fall in that category. Two-thirds of all volunteer-run organizations are reporting a shortage in Canada. And they offer all kinds of different excuses for that. They talk about how, since COVID, the economy is not conducive to it. In order for you to volunteer, you may have to drive somewhere. You might have to get childcare. There's a whole bunch of extra things, and you just... you can't afford it. You can't afford to get out and volunteer. One of the things, the other things they point out is that there's been this shift when it comes to the generations. The quote-unquote greatest generation ever and the baby boomers, they volunteered because they had this sense of duty. They had this belief that if I gave more of myself, I could make things better. If I volunteered, I could improve the situation. But since Gen X and later, if you don't know what Gen X is, look it up. But from Gen X and later, there's been this increased skepticism when it comes to volunteering. This idea of what's in it for me? Why would I bother giving up my time and my energy? Gen X and on are more prone to either sit at home and watch something on a streaming service or go outside and enjoy the great outdoors, which isn't a bad thing, but it leaves all of these volunteer opportunities short. And I think that skepticism comes back to this question of what's in it for me. And so this morning I want to start off in light of all of this, and I want to say thank you to those who serve at One Church. I don't know why I'm getting choked up, but I think it is because you guys mean so much. Church isn't possible without those that serve. I mean, Michelle and I could do everything, but that's not sustainable. You want to see us burnt out really fast, you just all stop doing what you're doing and let me do everything. Like, and I would, right? I believe in the church, and I would if I had to, but the reality is that sustainable, healthy ministry only happens because of those that serve. And one of the things I want to do in appreciation for all that you do as is get that word volunteer out of the vocabulary. Because you're not volunteers. You are so much more. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians 4. Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility, so this is me, my responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work, his work, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. The body. You are the body. Most translations talk about how it is our job to equip the saints, which is all of you, for the work of ministry. You are not volunteers. You are ministers of the gospel in every sense of that term. Ministers of the gospel. Volunteer is not a word you find in the Bible, but ministers is. And over again in Scripture, it is this reminder that you are called to serve in ministry. And if you don't believe that you are a minister of the gospel, let me unpack this for you. And I'm not blowing smoke. I'm trying to add value where maybe value has been taken away. So for those of you that serve in the greeting ministry, aka you volunteer as a greeter, you're not just a greeter. You are a witness of the love and the hospitality of Jesus Christ. You're a witness. You're an evangelist. Because not only do you have the responsibility, they say in the first 8 seconds, the impression has already been made of what the person is to expect. You're not just making an impression on behalf of our church. You're making an impression on behalf of Jesus. And as those people walk in the door and you smile and you shake your hand, you are letting them know that we serve a God who loves and welcomes. And it doesn't matter how new you are. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. None of it matters. We're just glad you're here because God's glad you're here. And he has big plans for you. You are an evangelist. For those that serve in kids ministry, you are quite literally ministers of the gospel. We know that we have between the ages of 4 and 14 to sow seeds of eternity into our kids. And every Sunday you serve at kids' church, you are sowing those seeds. You don't just volunteer as a teacher. You are forming the next generation for eternity. Whew, that's weighty. Yeah, it is. But your role is that important. For you that serve in youth, you don't just volunteer at the drop-in center. You are quite literally missionaries. We as a church pay for a separate building so that you can serve and reach out to kids who have no framework, no understanding what the gospel is. And week after week, you show up and you love on these kids and you show them that God loves them. You are missionaries. You don't have to go to another country to be a missionary. You just have to go to a different building and reach out to kids who don't know Jesus. You are missionaries in every sense. You in the booth. Yeah, I didn't forget about you. You guys are every much pastors as I am. Because with one press of the button, hundreds of people would miss out on the message that they're hearing right now. In one press of the button, I could sound like Alvin the Chipmunk, and you could just completely distract what is happening this morning. I'm really glad they don't know which button that is, but anyways. You just keep leaning back in your chair, Tim. You move forward. And it's often forgotten, but your role is just as important as anybody else's. For those who sing on stage, Scripture tells us that the armies would send the worshipers out before the armies, and there was wars won without swords ever needing to be drawn because the worshipers would go out and God would win the battle. You who serve in the worship ministry are winning battles that we don't even know about. You are breaking down walls. You are inviting us into the presence of God. There is not just a volunteer at church. You are so much more. Even those who bring muffins on a Sunday morning. We know that food has the ability to break down walls and make people open up to receive the gospel. For you, it's just buying some muffins or making some muffins Saturday night, and it may stress you out, but in light of eternity, what you are doing has eternal results. And we may never know, we may never see, but even the muffin ministry is hugely important for what we do as a church. I don't think I forgot about the people who serve in prayer ministry. You're quite literally intercessors. You stand in the gap between the church and anyone who comes to you for prayer. You literally go to the courts of heaven and petition God to move in ways that only He can move. You are intercessors. You are spiritual warriors. You are doing the hard work to see God move in our church and in our community. And those that organize the volunteers, when it talks about apostles, you quite literally are the apostles. Because you make sure that every single person is using their gift. They get their time. They get their opportunity. You have the most underrated job and cannot be overexpressed how much, how important it is. See, you're not volunteers. You are ministers of the gospel. You represent Christ in all that you do, and that should inspire you to do more. And so this morning, what we're going to do, we got a little bit of food out. We've got little thank yous. But the token that you're getting doesn't even capture how invaluable you are. I wish I could do more. And if anyone here serves at one church and feels like you're undervalued, underappreciated, I'm sorry. Because you are not. You make it all happen. You don't, maybe not seen on the camera, you're maybe not heard like I am, but without you, none of this happens. It's absolutely 100% impossible without you. And so this is my commitment to you. Make sure that I never underappreciate you again. And one of the biggest ways that I can do that is I'm going to stop calling you volunteers and start calling you what you are. You are ministers of the gospel. And based on Scripture, why do we serve? And come back to that question of what's in it for me. Well, to help me unpack that for you, for those of you with your physical Bibles, you can go to Psalm 116. We don't know who wrote Psalm 116. We don't know what the background is. But I want you to hear what the psalmist says as we reflect on the opportunity we have to serve. Starting in verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. But maybe some of you just need to close your eyes and just listen to the words I'm about to say, so that you capture and understand the significance of what's happening. Psalm 116, starting in verse 1. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good He is, how merciful this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and He saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I believed in You. So I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. My anxiety, I cried out to You. These people are all liars. The psalmist, reflecting on the Lord, says, how good You are. When you declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He literally saves you from death. Because the consequences of sin is death. That's the price. But when you declare Jesus as your Savior and you believe in your heart that God rose Him from the dead, He takes away that sin. He takes away all that holds you back. He takes away that death and He gives you newness of life. He makes you a brand new creation, Paul says. And the psalmist reflecting is like, God, how good You are. I fall, I am overwhelmed, I feel like I'm at death's door, and I cry out to You, and You hear me, and You answer me, and You heal me, and You make everything work out. I've been reading through Psalm 119, and a couple times the psalmist there says, I recognize that my affliction, my tough times, my trials, even those are a gift from you because I see how they are refining me and growing me. How good is our God? How good is, and this morning, maybe you haven't taken time to do it in a while. Maybe you've forgotten. And maybe this morning, all you need to do is just close your eyes, tune out everything else I'm about to say, and just remember how good your God is. We sang about it. Your goodness running after me. I'm going to sing 1,000 hallelujahs and 1,000 more, and I have all eternity to sing to you, and it's still not going to enough because of how good you are. And the psalmist says in verse 12, he says, "What can I offer the Lord for all he has done? For how good he is." And if you don't know how good God is, this is how good he is. Everything you have in your life is a result of God's goodness. Either it is a gift that he has given you directly, or it is a result of a gift that he has given you and you've used it and you have experienced good things because of it. Every good thing in your life is from the Lord. Everything. And the psalmist, in light of how good it is and how in light of all of this, he says, "What could I possibly offer you, Lord?" He goes on, he says, "I can sing to you, I can lift my hands to you, I can surrender to you." But in verse 16, he says this, "Oh Lord, I'm your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household. You have freed me from my chains." The psalmist says, "I can give my all. I'm going to serve you with who I am. I'm going to commit my life to pursuing you and helping you and advancing your kingdom. And it's still not enough, but it's the least I can do. I am your servant." So why at One Church do we call you to serve? Because it's the least we can do for our God. Our God who continually gives all of him to, all of himself to us, all of our attention when we cry out, all of his power when we need healing, all of him resting within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, all good things. How could we possibly repay him? Well, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And so for those who are serving regularly, thank you. Thank you 1,000 times over. Thank you. For those that aren't, as we wind down for the summer, just a heads up, come September, we will have our ministry expo again. We'll put everything on display. I encourage you to take the next couple months and pray about it. How can I serve? How can I get involved? How can I help the church continue to grow and be the church that God has called it to be? Where do I fit? If you don't know, maybe check out the study tonight at Redverse. It might help. But take the summer, reflect, and maybe where you are isn't working. That's okay. Got lots of opportunities for you to serve. But as we come into summer and as we pause and reflect and prepare for a busy fall, my encouragement to you is to seek the Lord and say, "God, where would you have me? Where do I plug in? Where can I help? Where can I minister for the gospel?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for all those who serve faithfully at One Church. God, I pray a special blessing on each and every one of them, that you would fill their hearts and their minds, and God, that they would feel your closeness as we draw near to you. You say you draw near to us. And so, God, I pray that we experience that nearness. May we hear your voice when we cry out. God, I pray this blessing on everyone. And as we go into summer and as we prepare for the fall, God, I pray that you are stirring in the hearts of every single person. God, that you would call them into the ministry that you designed them for, the one that fits them perfectly. God, that they could serve with everything they are. God, because it is the least we can do to say thank you to you. And not just serve in church, but serve in every opportunity you open our eyes to. God, may I am your servant. I give you all that I am. And God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for those that serve and make all of this possible. Be with us at our tables as we move into discussion. May we be challenged and encouraged and built up to be the men and women you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.